Talking Sandful with Bevo and Smith.
Yes, welcome to the show once again, where we focus on all things Sandful and bringing the latest news and the biggest guests every week. Bevo here in the host chair, and always I'm joined by the Golden Tonsils himself, the man who's done over 300 plus games, probably be still umpiring in his 60s and 70s. That is Steve Smurf Murphy. Smurf, great to have you on again, mate.
Yeah, mate, you've gone from the Golden Tonsils saying nice things about me to saying I'm going to be umpiring until I'm 60. I'm not that far from 60 anyway. But yes, looking forward to the show, mate. Another big show coming up.
You do a wonderful thing, all jokes aside, as a goal umpire.
Thank you, mate.
And you're still in pretty good shape, so you're going along very nicely.
No, yeah, it's too late now. You've already insulted me. What's on the show tonight, mate?
Well, we've got a big one, Murph. Obviously, we had a couple of big upsets on the weekend.
Yeah. How does that happen? Again, it's such a weird season, isn't it? We were convinced last week that the two top sides had basically flexed their muscle, having big wins over the contenders, if you like, and they both lose. In fact, after this week, because they're playing each other, unless there's a draw, one of those two teams is going to go 2 weeks in a row without a win. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, it's just amazing. Like you said, it's one of those seasons. Obviously, we're seeing it in the AFL and the Sandful as well with the COVID situation. But hey, it's great though. We want to see close matches where everyone's a chance, and obviously going forward, then the finals is going to be so exciting. And it's really hard to pick a winner this year for the Flags, Murph, because on their day, Nord have shown that they can beat anyone. And obviously we know how well North and the Eagles are going as well. So, yeah, it's we'll obviously get to those games in a moment and talk through, how both the Eagles and North lost those games. North, a close one. The Eagles, 40-point loss in the end. But, yeah, really looking forward to discussing those. And a couple of big guests again, Murph. Who have we got on?
Well, you talked about the Eagles. Matt Goldsworthy, superstar from the team, will join us for a chat later. We find out a few things, including asking about the history of reality show contestants from that club over the years. There's been a few, and from what he's saying, there might be a few more, I think.
Yeah, they love the reality TV down there at the Eagles.
Apparently so.
I want to ask him as well, Smurf, about balancing a full-time job as a footy manager as well as playing at the Eagles, and is it too much footy? So should be interesting to hear what Goldie has to say about that.
And there's one other special guest as well, Bevo. This will be an interesting little chat, actually.
That's right. He's doing wonderful things in terms of Sandful disability, and that's on Sunday. We've got a big game after the North Eagles game, Smurf. It's actually a Sandful disability game, which is going to be like an exhibition game, which is wonderful that these guys get to run around, not only, after the big first versus second battle, but also in front of hopefully a decent crowd there. We'll stick around and watch it. And it's awesome that these guys get the chance to play the game they love.
Yeah, fantastic. We'll talk to Nathan Pepper about that soon. All right, let's talk about round 10 of the Statewide Super League, where, as we said, a couple of upsets, but that hasn't changed the top of the ladder situation at the moment. We still have the Eagles on top, followed by North Adelaide, both on 16 points. Then South Adelaide on 12 points, so to Glenelg. Nord in fifth position. Then we have Sturt on 4 wins in 6, followed by the Bloods and Centrals, both on 3 points. Let's talk about North Adelaide's winning streak coming to an end at the hand of the Bays. An exciting match over the weekend. What happened, Bevo?
Yeah, it was an absolute belter down there at Prospect on Sunday, Smurf. The Bays holding on to win by 2 points, 10 goals 11, 71 to 10 goals 9, 69. Now, the Bays actually led by 27 points at three-quarter time, but I guess buoyed by that home crowd, Smurf, the Roosters stormed home and gave themselves a real chance of winning. They kicked 4 goals 2 to 1 behind in the final term, but weren't quite able to come away with the chocolates. But, credit to the Bays, and last year's premiers are showing that they're still, are going to be a contender again this year, which, as I mentioned before, it just makes the season so exciting. Darcy Bailey with 3 goals for the Bays, Condon and McBean with 2 each. Lukey Partington having a great year again for Glenelg, 27 disposals, and Snook with 26. I did mention a few weeks ago that he's a dark horse for the McGarry, so we'll see what happens with that one, Smurf. In terms of the Roosters, Louis Hender, a former Bays player, of course, he finished with 3 goals, and Harrison Wigg, I reckon this guy could be a potential AFL mature age pickup next year. Okay. He played for the Crows, didn't really get a go because of their, depth in the midfield, but he's showing some really good signs this year with North Adelaide, and he had 29 possessions on the weekend. Jared Ullman always racks up plenty of the footy. He had 28. So the Eagles had their winning streak broken by Norwood as well. We mentioned before that the Eagles and North Adelaide both losing. What happened down at the parade there, Murph? You were there. Did your goal umpiring, so you were there to see it all happen.
Did, mate. Saw it in action. There was not a breath of wind yet for some reason for most of the night. All the goals were down at one end. And sadly for the Eagles, most of them for Norwood. I think if you are told most people before the game that one team was going to win by 40 points, you'd put your house on it being the Eagles, you'd lose your house because, of course, Norwood did end up winning after going down to North the previous week by 52 points. So, yeah, 12-12-84 to the Eagles, 6-8-44 was the final score. The Eagles did start well, though, and you thought, again, even at that point of the match, you know, the Eagles by how much? They led 3-3 to 1-2 at quarter time, but then things changed dramatically and not for the better for the Eagles with the Legs kicking 7-3 to 1-2 in the second quarter and then continued to dominate for the rest of the game. Tom Pinion with 3 goals for the Legs, Panos and Wilson with 2 goals, and Richie Douglas also 2 to go with his 35 touches. He's half a chance for McGarry as well, Bevo, I've got
certainly
to say.
Is.
He seems to feature a lot when we talk stats most weeks. Nick Rokar with his 34 disposals and 13 marks, had a good day out as well, or good night as it turned out. Brad McKenzie with 27 possessions, including 11 marks as well. For the Eagles, Jared Redden kicked 2 goals. Joe Sinor had 25 touches. Foot, McNeil and Paul had 21 each as well. And of course, we're speaking to Matt Goldsworthy from the Eagles later in this podcast, so no doubt he'll tell us more about that match. All right, things are much closer at Hisense Stadium on Friday night. Bevo with Sturt winning that one by just 7 points, but kicking very accurately, 10-1-61 to West Adelaide's 8-6-54. Tell us more about that one.
Yeah, that's right. We've actually spoken a bit, Murph, about Westies having that home ground advantage on a Friday night. And the other week, they nearly beat the Roosters. So
and they had more scoring shots too.
It's unreal. And I don't know whether it's because they sort of grow a bit more when they've got their home crowd there behind them. But they certainly played well against Sturt. And right in that game until that final term, in the end, it was Sturt kicking away in the last quarter. They kicked 3 goals straight to 1-1 in the final term to steal the win. But it does go to show that, you know, Westies can't be underestimated. They have beaten Glenelg this year, and, you know, they took it right up to Sturt. So they're certainly a young side with some injuries, but they've got a lot to look forward to in the future, the Bloods, that's for sure. For Sturt, Mark Evans led the way with 3 goals, and former power player Aidan Johnson kicked 2 for Sturt. James Battersby and Sam Colquhoun, regular ball winners, they had 26 possessions each in the midfield. For Westies, Hamish Ellum kicked 2 goals. And ball magnet Kane Stevens had 30 disposals. And former Crows top-up player last year, now, of course, at the Bloods, that's Jordan Boyle. He had 27 touches and 9 marks.
I noticed, too, that James Borlase made his debut for Sturt in that game, too. He's only 18. Obviously, a lot of expectation over him, given that his dad was a Port Adelaide superstar, not to mention his mum was a netball superstar, and from all accounts, did all right. So good luck to him. Might be a future superstar there, Bevo.
Yeah, there's talk about the Crows taking, which I certainly wouldn't like because we want to have him at the power, Smurf. But yeah, it's certainly an interesting one there. We'll watch his space to see what happens with young James. Now, in terms of the Dogs, they took on South Adelaide at Noarlunga on Saturday, Smurf, and we've spoken about that crazy win down there at Noarlunga, and it certainly played havoc on Saturday.
Yes, well, they know what they're doing down there at South Adelaide because they're used to those swirling winds, so it obviously makes it hard for the visitors, and clearly it didn't help Centrals on the weekend with South Adelaide winning. Or having said that, though, they hit the post a few times, in fact, 6 times, but still won 14-19-103 to Centrals 10-6-66. Ben Heaslip had 22 disposals and 4 clearances for South Adelaide, and former Crows listed player Paul Hunter had 30 hit-outs and 7 clearances, so he did well. Eamon Wilkinson with 3 goals, and VFL recruit Daly Andrews kicked 2. For the Bulldogs, former Panther James Boyd continued his great year with 27 disposals. Jared Schiller had 14 tackles to go with his 17 possessions. Barreau and Kelly kicking 2 goals each. All right, Bevo, let's welcome our first guest for this podcast.
Yes, that's right, Murph. On Sunday, it's a very interesting game that's happening. That's after the big North and Eagles clash.
And which is also an interesting game.
Yeah, absolutely. most definitely. And to tell us all about it is Nathan Pepper. Now, he's the Stanford Disability Program Coordinator. Did I get that right, Nath?
You did. How are you going? Thanks for having me on.
No problem. It's a great title. Nath, what made you want to take on the role that you have?
It's something I've been involved in for, almost 10 years now, actually. I've been involved in disability sports for a number of years. So opportunity came up to work with Sandfall and just focus on footy. And it's been great to, I guess, develop and grow some footy specific programs.
And where's your passion for disabled sports come from? Do you have disability yourself, or do you know people in that situation? Or
I don't. It was something I always wanted to work in sports, and then it was just a chance that I had when I was at university, and it was a placement that I had and got to work with a disability organisation then, and just loved it and thought I could make a bit of a difference there, and it's just grown from there.
I can imagine it would be a very rewarding role, Nathan.
Oh, absolutely. It's pretty addictive, I sort of tell people. You get a lot of good news stories, and, obviously you have some ordinary days as everyone does at work, but then there's always a great story just around the corner that, makes you think what you're doing is really worthwhile.
Right.
Yeah, wonderful, mate. Hey, tell us more about the program and the game that's happening on Sunday, of course, after the big North Eagles clash.
Yeah, so this is really exciting for us. It's an idea we've sort of had in the pipeline for quite a while. Normally, we've got a state team that go away each year to the AFL National Inclusion Carnival, which is 16 players that we select, players with an intellectual disability, and they get to compete against all the other states. And it's just this 1 week away, and it's a great experience for the guys. But what we've learnt and what we've wanted to do is that let's turn it into a year-round academy. The start, we've basically put some things in place to kick off this academy, and it's all going to actually kick off on Sunday as an exhibition game, post the Eagles-North game, which we're really excited to showcase all the players.
Now, this might sound like a stupid question, Nathan, but what actually qualifies someone to play for a game like this? I'm always confused every time the Paralympics come around as to some people think, oh, okay, you qualify for that. So is there a blanket way of describing how you qualify, or is that a bit too hard in a short interview?
Yeah, no, there is. It's a very good question. So when it comes to like the AFL National Inclusion Carnival, that's specifically for players with an intellectual disability.
Okay.
And so that's to the standard of like the world standard that they hold for intellectual disability. So it's things like having an IQ of 75 or below, some deficits in adaptive behaviour, and also evidence that it's prior to the age of 18, so it has to be in those developmental years. But when it comes to, I guess, our inclusive league, which is our community footy comp that we run, and also this academy, we've kind of opened it up a little bit. So we sort of just say players with a disability. Majority would have an intellectual disability, but obviously there's some others that have, various challenges. So that we allow them to play as well, which is great.
And tell us more about the history of the SANFL Inclusive Academy and how it all came about, Nathan.
Yeah, so I suppose it's really around that state team. That was that, the 16 players that go away for 1 week each year. And that's been going since about 2013, the first AFL National Inclusion Carnival was held. And I guess it's grown for a while since then. So the SANFL have been supporting it from around that time. And prior to that, I guess there's been a local competition. So that's the SANFL APM Inclusive League. And now that's a comp where we've got five local footy teams involved. And I've got about 135 players at last count playing in that competition, which runs every Saturday throughout winter. So that's been really successful. And this is just a pathway opportunity for those players involved in that.
Nathan, I think it's fantastic. If anyone is listening right now that they think know someone who might be keen to be a part of a competition like this, I'm sure all they have to do is get in contact with you at the SANFL and go from there. But if people are going to the game on Sunday, the North Eagles match, and could stick around afterwards to watch these guys in action, the buzz they will get, well, from first of all just playing on a ground like that, but also, of course, from a bit of a crowd there as well, it's something they'll remember forever, and I'm sure they would appreciate it. Nath, all the best. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks very much. And yeah, absolutely. The guys would absolutely love it. And for those that can't make it, we're actually going to have the game live streamed.
Oh, fantastic.
Keep an eye on our Facebook page. So if you just search for SANFL Disability Programs on Facebook, you'll find all about our programs and that live stream as well for Sunday.
Yeah, that's such a wonderful concept. Well done to you, Nathan, and everyone involved in that for, it's no doubt, like you mentioned before, such a rewarding role that you're involved in. So keep up the great work, mate, and hope it all goes well on Sunday.
Thank you very much and appreciate the support. Thanks for having me on.
And time now for our next guest.
Yes, Murph, that is a song of the all-conquering Eagles side going along very nicely. Unfortunately, they had a loss on the weekend, but before that, they were flying. And it's a very good song as well, Smurf, because I used to play for the Birdwood Roosters, and that was our club song. So
I'm tipping you didn't sing it very much, though. Am I right?
Or? Oh, no, so quite a few times, yeah, but right, we better okay. get our special guest on. Matty Goldsworthy, who is the footy manager at the Eagles, as well as being a star defender as well. Matty, great to have you on for a chat.
Good day, boys. Thanks for having me.
No worries, Matt. Now, I'm tipping the question you're asked the most when people find out that you're from a small place called Currumulka is where it is. So I'll save you that trouble. I did some research on Google Maps and it's somewhere near Port Vincent, sort of Stansbury way. But what I will ask is, I'm assuming you're the most famous person to come out of there. Matty, is there any chance of a statue or a grandstand in your name or something similar or not?
Oh, I don't know about that. yeah, I generally have to actually use Port Vincent and Stansbury as a reference when I have to explain where it is, because no one still knows where I've heard of it or where it is. But yeah, it's not a bad spot to go up.
Yeah. Now, obviously, it's hard for you to compare what it would have been like playing in the city as a youngster, because you didn't. But do you feel like your career has got where it has because of your playing in the country earlier on? Because I'd imagine in a lot of ways it would be harder to play, particularly when you're younger, in the country. Is that a fair call?
Yeah, I think the challenge for country people to then come down to the city and play, the challenge is all that travel, and yeah, I was lucky enough, the parents, and I had mates in the Eagles Junior program as well, so we sort of shared that load of travel. But you're driving down Wednesday nights, not getting home till 10, 11 o'clock, and then you're fronting up on a weekend as well for a game. You're getting up at 7 a.m. on a Saturday or something like that to get down, so the toll on the, yeah, the family and friends who drive down, that's probably the most challenging part, I think. But, lucky enough to have great support for me to get me down and do that.
Beautiful.
You were going along very nicely before the loss to Norwood. Talk us through the season so far, and I guess the game against Norwood, was it a bit of a hiccup? Or, you know, do you feel as though you're heading in the right direction, or have you got a few things to improve on now after that loss?
Yeah, I guess the season as a whole was a bit of a weird start to the year, having a pre-season in May, but it was great to get out there once we kicked off, and we started with a loss to South, and you're sort of trying to sort of find your bearings a little bit. But yeah, we got on a bit of a run, and yeah, until the weekend against Norwood. I guess you'd call it a bit of a hiccup, but they're a good side as well, so we probably definitely didn't play the way we want to play our footy, but as I said, Norwood are a quality side, and certainly got on top and showed while they'll be around the mark at the end of the year. So we certainly think we're a capable team to progress right towards the end, but as we saw on the weekend, North lost to Glenelg by a couple of points as well, so the competition's very even.
Now, I was there on Friday night. I could be wrong, Matt, but I felt like the first 15 minutes, for me anyway, and I've seen a lot of Sample over the years, was one of the most red hot, if you like, 15 minutes in terms of intensity I've seen in a very long time, most of which was brought on by the Eagles, and that was why you were doing so well by quarter time. Is that a fair call, or is it like that every week?
No, it would have been nice to sustain that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I guess that's the way we want to play, we were good enough to keep it in our end of the Oval for that first 15-20 minutes. Probably didn't apply as much scoreboard pressure as we would have liked, and then they went down the other end, and I guess they got it sort of back to a goal or so, I think it was, at quarter time. And then that second quarter, they probably showed what we could have probably done in that first quarter. They peppered the goals and kicked 7, I think. So once they're sort of team, they get a run on and they're hard to stop, and that's sort of what happened on the weekend.
Could it be mental as well? I don't know, but given that you are going so well and you had such a good first quarter, there wasn't a breath of wind, so you can't blame that. How does that happen? How does all of a sudden the team that's not ranked as high as you, good team nonetheless, don't get me wrong, kick that many goals against you?
Yeah, it could be mental. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I think lots of coaches would be searching for it. It happens a lot in footy. Potentially a bit of mental. As I said, it's probably mental the other way. Like Norwood were 4-5, I think they were. And that was probably, if they had gone to 4-6, it makes it hard for their season. So they were super desperate and they were clean. We were probably a bit fumbly. They just got their game going, and they're a hard team to play on their home ground. So, we were obviously sort of a bit of a reversal earlier in the year. We sort of got on top of them on our deck. So, yeah, disappointing, but certainly a lot of areas we can fix up and take that into the North game.
And, Matty, I mentioned at the start of the show you're a footy manager with the Eagles. How do you balance that as well as, playing as well? It must be difficult.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit of a challenge, but Luke Power, who's the CEO, he was the footy manager before me. so he helps me out a fair bit, which is good. But yeah, I guess I just try and get everything organised before game day and training. So we've got some good volunteers at the footy club as well, so sort of get everything ready before training, so when I rock up to training I can focus on that, and I guess between office hours make sure everything's in order.
The only issue I think would be with a job like that, which for most football lovers would be a dream situation, that you work full time with football during the week and then you get to play on the weekend as well. Is there a danger though of too much footy? Have you experienced that or considered that? Or
I've been at the footy club for a while now, so yeah. I was in marketing role before that, so I've been at the club 4 years, and there's certainly, yeah, for sure there's been periods where sometimes you just want to get away from the place,
yeah.
But I guess we've been lucky enough. Most of the time we've been winning, so unfortunately no premierships in the last few years. But I guess when you're winning and playing finals footy, it's a good place to be around.
Now, one of the characters from your footy club in past, going back in the days, was the big Seb Gilhouse. We saw him doing some great things on Married at First Sight. Did you watch it? And number two, what did he bring as a player, and you know, that real character to the club? How'd you find him, Goldie?
Yeah, character's a good way to describe it. He's done a few scenes for us at the club, just himself doing a bit of Will Ferrell. I can't remember the movie, but he's very good at it.
Old school?
Yeah, old school. Yep. He's run that a few times, which the boys loved. I think the young boys actually loved him more, I guess he's sort of one of the older guys, but just loved taking the piss, I suppose you'd say, and the boys loved that. So I can't say I tuned in too much. I know when Jared Petrenko was on House Rules as well, I probably watched the first few episodes, and not really my sort of show, so I can't say I tuned in all too much.
Matt, you strike me as a pretty humble kind of guy, so I'd like you to be honest here if you can. How often do you whip out the tape of the 2011 Premiership match? Does it ever get a bit of a play in your house or not?
Not for a while. I think it might have come up maybe the first Christmas after we won. I might have gone to Grandma's house and she's been on.
Very proud Grandma, no doubt.
Yeah, she loves it when we're on Channel 7, that's for sure. But I can't say I have. I did, when we went into the COVID break, one of our historians, I suppose, or one of our Mad Eagles men, he shared a YouTube link on his Facebook page, which had a link to all our old games. Because I wasn't working, I actually found myself watching old games for a day, but they were just random round matches, nothing exciting. I was just trying to find something to do, but no, I can't say I watched the granny too much.
Nothing wrong with checking yourself out on TV, is there, Bevo?
No.
Especially when you're doing well.
Exactly. And speaking of checking themselves out, Murph, it's time for make things a bit more lighthearted, because we're going to do our segment called Dishing the Dirt. And one question.
Sometimes, though, this is the hardest part for the interviewee, Bevo.
Yes. One of them actually involves the player that. Actually, we'll start with this one, Murph. We'll do things a bit differently.
All right, okay.
The player that loves the mirror, Goldie. Which player at the Eagles loves the mirror the most?
The staple line used to be James Boyd, but he's obviously no longer with us. So I'll go the skipper, Luke Thompson. That's probably a safe one.
He'll love that, I'm sure.
Looking up. Yep.
All right. What about the funniest teammate at the club and why?
It was Seb. It definitely was Seb. Now it's Jimmy Rowe's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, right.
He just looking at him is enough to laugh, but bit of a character.
And three words to describe your new coach, Jade Sheedy.
Obviously, you get to spend a bit of time in the office, so he's very OCD. he is well organised, good communicator, and not one word, but he's very good with relationships with the players. Very good at that.
Yeah, no, well said. Now, this is an interesting question too, given the, as just discussed, the history of reality TV participants at your club, i.e. Seb and Jared Petrenko, but a teammate who loves reality TV, not necessarily being on it, but would be most likely to watch a bit of it.
To be honest, I reckon it's a large portion watch it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's concerning. I think a lot of them, Seb being on it, that probably helped, but yeah. I think they'd probably watch it anyway, I feel.
Yeah, right.
And finally, Goldie, the biggest nerd at the club.
Nerd. Well, we've actually got a bit of a footy nerd new to our club. James Cheetahs is the biggest footy nerd I've seen, I reckon.
Is that right?
He loves footy. Yeah, but it's been, he's obviously just come across from Victoria in the last few weeks or months, a couple of months ago now, but loves footy like I've never seen anyone. And I'm a pretty big footy nerd myself, but I'd say he takes the cake.
Next level, fair enough. All right, mate, you got through that nicely. Well done. Before you go, if you wouldn't mind, just a quick look at the games this weekend and your thoughts on them. We'll start with Central's hosting Norwood, fresh after their big win over you guys, sadly, on Friday night. This game at Elizabeth, ex-convenience.
Yeah, Norwood on the weekend, very impressive. Obviously, Central's were struggling a little bit, got some of their key players, the Menzel boys are out for the year. Out there definitely helps Central's, they're a lot stronger out there, for sure, so that will definitely help. But the way Norwood played on the weekend, I'd say they should do it pretty comfortably.
And Sturt hosting South also on Saturday, arvo, at Peter Motley Oval, Goldie.
Peter Motley, I'd say South again. Third, I think, sort of fourth on the ladder. So, yeah, we played them a few weeks ago and they're pretty inaccurate in front of goals. It could have been a different story. I think sort of based on where they are on the ladder, Sturt definitely got some good players and can be competitive. But I'd say that over the duration of the day, South should get it done.
The Bays are hosting West Adelaide, the Bloods, in a twilight match on Saturday at 4:10.
Westies won that last time because we played Glenelg next week. So, yeah, I remember watching a bit of that. So, definitely can't rule West Adelaide out.
No.
Although I think that might be their only one for the year even. They might have two. They might have got Central's once. But, Westies, obviously, again, a few injuries and struggling a little bit. But, again, they won last time. So I'll say Glenelg, but, West certainly in with a shot.
And obviously the big one on Sunday, we're all looking forward to it. It's first versus second, you guys up against the Roosters. Both teams coming off losses though. How are you going to beat the Roosters on Sunday? And what's, I guess, the key things you need to do to knock off the Roosters?
They've got a very good team across the board. We found that last time. I think we were even at three-quarter time and we just snuck home. So I think starts in the midfield. I think most teams can get on top of the midfield goes a long way to winning, so they've got some good players in there. Henry Moore's had a massive year, be up there in the McGarry, I'd say, and Schwartz and Ullman signing plenty of the footy. So if we shut that down for a start, or get on top at least, sort of, you just don't want them to get away from you in there. We've got some good forwards, I'd say, on our side, so if we can get it in there, get some one-on-ones to Jack Hayes, Nick Hayes, Romberto, Rowey's obviously leading the goal kicking, so I think if we can get on top in the middle and get it into our forwards, that'll be a good way to get the win on the board.
Matt Goldsworthy, appreciate your time, mate. Good luck in getting that grandstand named in your honour in Karramulka. But more importantly, of course, good luck for the rest of the year. Thanks for the chat.
Beautiful. Thanks, boys.